Welcome back to Stack the Pads, your D1 Women's Hockey podcast. I'm Owen Krepps, joined by
John Hanna.
And we had another tough weekend against a top five opponent. But
yes, we did. Hey, and we're going to have another one.
Yeah, and we're going to have another one this weekend. But hey, this is not blowout type of scenarios.
No, this was the closest series they've had all year so far. I mean, it's not saying much. They played Union in Minnesota.
Yeah.
But this was the closest they've had by far.
I mean, the Minnesota game was close. The Minnesota series was close as well. The Union series was more of just a warm-up, if you will, considering we outscored them, I believe, like 11-1. But this last weekend was a rough one in terms of just overall what happened and the way it ended. The first game ended in a 3-3 tie. So essentially, going in, it's still tied going into the second game, and then the dramatic overtime that happened.
I know. I didn't watch it, but I read the recap of that on Sentry.
Yeah, it was pretty heartbreaking. I was there, and
last seconds as well.
J.C. Gebhard. Well, we thought the game was just going to overtime, no matter what. All right, so would it win 4-4?
Mm-hmm.
J.C. Gebhard, well, just the Colonials take two penalties. Dying seconds of the third, which, all right, we can try and kill it off, hopefully, and force overtime. No. J.C. Gebhard, well, Emily Curlett, when she needs props on the play, Emily Curlett finds her through a seam, and because she's J.C. Gebhard, she just decides to try and go score instead of...
Why not? If you...
She was pinching, like, and I was like, wait, what are you doing? And then all of a sudden, the puck's on her stick, and she goes in on a breakaway, and she snipes it. And the Colonials were up 5-4. So, and that was possibly, we're early, but still, it's the best goal I've seen all year in terms of just big goals.
I think the best one was still... who was it? It was Templeman's goal against...
Oh, the set faceoff play against Union?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a nice goal. In terms of skill, I guess, I'll give that one the skill.
But this one was definitely the biggest of the year.
The most clutch goal of the year. But was it because...
It didn't really work out in the end.
Yeah.
It reminds me...
Clarkson was able to tie it up.
You're not a big baseball fan, but it reminds me of LeMahieu's game-tying home run in game 5 of the ALCS.
Yeah.
Top of the ninth, 2-run homer to tie it up. Very next half inning, Altuve hits a 3-run homer to send the Astros to the World Series.
It kind of reminds me of the who was it? The NHL bus that should be ashamed of himself, Patrick Stephan.
Yes.
About how like he could have sealed the deal there.
Oh, yeah, missed the wide-open empty netter.
And then it still went to overtime, and then they ended up winning anyways. So it's kind of a different scenario, but...
Yeah, because she actually scored.
Yeah. A heartbreaking overtime. If you essentially look at these games, it was essentially a 9-8 loss for the Colonials over, like, a huge weekend because this was not, like, the third period of the... Minnesota game.
No, this
where
was tight.
Got out of hand.
It every
was tight.
Single, yeah. Every single play.
All
it was.
130 minutes of play, with the overtimes and the two games. So did I do my math correctly on that? Yeah. 260 minutes. Yeah.
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 Yeah. And then the 5-minute. Yeah.
So all right, we'll go. We'll skip back here, to go to game one.
You were at that
one. I was at this game, and it was possibly the weirdest game I've ever seen in college hockey. There was 20 penalties in it. 20.
20.
20.
What did Paul have to say about that?
He was very, like, obviously very happy with the special teams, considering, like, all these opportunities. And, well, what happened in the second period of this game, he was super happy with the power play of the Colonials. They scored three straight goals on the power play and tied it up.
I mean, it helps that 11 penalties were called in that.
Yeah, 11 penalties were called. He didn't really have anything to say about, like, the actual, like, reffing and, like, the officiating of the game. Like, he wasn't
angry
about it. I'm sure he was.
I mean, if all 20 were called on Robert Morris, you'd probably.
It was split perfectly, though. It was 10-10. But, yeah, 11 were in the second period alone. So, DeSmet got the start. This was our third start in a row coming into the game. And then she got the start again.
Interesting.
I don't know.
Kirk have an injury maybe possibly, that we're not aware of?
But maybe it's just DeSmet was being more trusted.
Was Kirk on the bench?
She was on the bench.
Okay, so I don't know. I mean, I thought she played really well against.
She has, yeah. She's played
Minnesota, very well, but
in Union.
I don't know.
It'll
be interesting to see next weekend.
Yeah. Or this upcoming weekend, tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow. It's Thursday. Jeez.
It is Thursday, yeah. It's crazy how fast these weeks are going. And going a little off topic here, but, like, we've had so many home weekends. It just feels like a constant cycle. And this is the first weekend where we are away. So, I mean, we're not covering the games, and we can just watch from afar.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It's weird because
They're actually traveling probably right now.
They are on their way to Cornell.
Yes.
Which we'll preview a little bit later. Another top five team. The first game, Michaela Boyle got a. It was a tip-in goal, granted, but still, she scored against her former team.
That must have been a good feeling for her.
Yeah,
it's always nice to score, especially against your former team.
Yeah, Gebhardt got a goal, I believe that was on the power play, and Curlett also got a power play goal. Well, they all were on the power play.
Yeah,
3-3 was the final score. Ray and McGill got two goals. Taylor Turnquist scored a goal, and just a solid overall performance. And I asked Sarah LeCavalier, I kind of jinxed it, if you will. I asked her after the game, like, are you happy that you guys tied in game one so that you can go out there and beat them game two? You didn't end it in a tie. Well, it did go to overtime in game two, but
it didn't end up the way they wanted it.
Yeah, so going into game two, it was a 6-5 loss. We mentioned how this game ended, but it still was just a normal, like a hard-fought, not... You didn't fall apart in the third period like you did in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
This team played the full 60.
How was the atmosphere in these games?
It was pretty crazy. It wasn't like Minnesota where there was too many fans from like the opposing team,
mm-hmm.
or men's hockey with Michigan Tech. Or
that's kind of surprising because Clarkson's technically closer than Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying there wasn't fans there. I was just saying there wasn't like 70%. Of their fans and like 30% of our fans. There was a decent amount there for both teams, and everyone, both sides obviously wanted to win, and this is like a big win matchup type for both teams here. So yeah, 6-5, overtime loss. Gabrielle David, or David, I don't know how.
I think it's David.
I'm gonna go with David here. I don't think that's a foreign name. She finished off the hat trick in overtime. So another addition to how dramatic that overtime was. I was not covering this game.
But
so
you
I
were
was,
just there as
I was,
a fan.
I was there as, or I was there shooting camera, shoulder camera. So I was just doing my best because I kept on moving around. I wanted to see the overtime goal go in for the Colonials, and I was on the wrong end when it happened because obviously it went to the other end. But yeah, a heartbreaking loss, but still, this is just, you can't look at these games and say, wow, we are terrible.
No,
these are great teams that you battled against.
Yeah,
this is what you want to build off of. These losses are what's going to make your team better. And if you look at the schedule, it's really, I mean, it's still very early. We're what, week four?
I think so.
One of them was a bye week. One of them was against Union. So, and then this, you have three straight weeks against top five opponents. This is the hardest part of the schedule you're going through right now, arguably.
And the fact that
you're battling.
You haven't won any, but you've only technically lost one in regulation.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
We went to overtime in every single game except for the one.
And that could have been if it wasn't for the last 10 minutes of the third.
And these are all top five in the country opponents. And we have another one coming up here again. Worth noting, Maggie Burbidge, who will be on the show next week.
If everything goes correct.
If everything goes as planned, yes. She got her first goal in the NCAA. Congratulations to her in the second game. That came earlier in the game. I believe she might have been. She scored the first goal, I believe.
I think so.
She did score. Yeah, she scored the first goal, the only goal for the Colonials that was not on the power play or shorthanded.
Hmm. Michaela Boyle scored again.
Yeah, Boyle did score again. Gebhard with a goal, an assist, and Elizabeth Jaguar with two goals.
She led the team last year.
No, three goals. Wow. We had two hat tricks scored against us that game, and it was only a six-goal game.
So does that mean that Bernard and Michaela, I don't even want to try and pronounce that, didn't, were they just given to Jaguar instead?
Here, we're going to go through them. David, Bernard, David, Pedjolza, Jaguar, and David.
All right, so.
So David had a hat trick.
And Jaguar had one.
Yeah, Jaguar just had one. I don't know why.
You probably saw her name. She had.
She was on the assist column.
Four assists. No, four
assists. So, yeah. So, yeah, definitely players that stood out for Clarkson being like Rayan McGill, Gabrielle David, and Elizabeth Jaguar. Another just tough opponent that there's really not much to say about.
No, I mean.
So this weekend has, last weekend, got the Colonials ranked 10th overall. And this weekend, we've climbed up. We are now ranked 8th overall.
And it's actually more important because last week it was, you know, I think we had 9 points, Boston College or whatever the Boston team had, 5. So it was really close between those three. But now we have what? How many votes? Isn't it?
Like, let's see. Robert Morris has 34 points overall in terms of voting, beating out Ohio State and Boston University. We are ranked 8th in the U.S. CHO, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Northeastern, Clarkson, Cornell, who we play this weekend, Boston College, Princeton, and then us. So
this will be Cornell's first game.
It will be, yeah. That's interesting. Somehow they're ranked.
I mean, Princeton is also ranked without playing any games.
Yeah.
I don't know, but.
And if you just look at the overall records here, a bunch of like people that don't know anything about RMU could look and just see the 2-3-1 record and be like, how is this team top 10 ranked in the entire league with Boston College sitting at just like ahead of them at 6 with a 6-0 record. But obviously it's not really, I mean, I'm not going to say that wins don't matter, but this team is really
playing well
and contributing, playing Colonial hockey style. So yeah, 34 points. It's going to take them a lot to move up in the rankings, as Princeton and Boston College are tied in 6th place, aka sort of 7th place for with 72 points. So,
but if they beat Cornell this week, and I think at least one game, and battle them hard in the next, it's definitely possible that they could, maybe not top 5, but
you never know. Yeah,
go up a little bit more. And I was just checking, Gebhard, after that last week,
mm-hmm.
she only needs 32 points now to pass Brittany Howard.
Brittany Howard. Yeah, it's crazy to think that this season we might see a top 5 ranked
RMU
Colonial team, along with J.C. Gebhard, be the most have the most points in RMU women's hockey history, along with, knock on wood, NCAA division appearance. I keep repeating this, but if you want to see good hockey, come out to the island when women's hockey plays. This is arguably the best team on campus right now.
Yes. So Gebhard's currently tied for sixth in scoring with 14 points. And, jeez.
Six in what?
Six in scoring, excuse me.
In NCAA?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Wisconsin,
yeah,
their leading scorer.
They're ridiculous right now. They are they have 13 place votes for first. They're 8-0, and they have 148 points overall in terms of voting.
Would you like to know how many points their leading scorer has in 8 games?
16.
25.
How?
I don't know. 8 goals, 17 assists for Daryl Watts, a junior forward.
Do we play Wisconsin?
Hopefully not, because, I mean, I like this team, but I don't think we'll have a chance.
Yeah. Looking at the schedule, we do not play Wisconsin.
Also, Lexi Templeman is 10th with 12 points.
Yep.
And Emily Curlett is the second highest defenseman.
Who's first? Is it a Wisconsin player?
Yep. Yeah. Mackenzie Steffen, a senior defenseman.
Yeah, and going off to of the Emily Curlett thing, she has, again, been named CHA Player of the Week. This or last week, she was co-player of the week. I don't know who was she was with it, but I didn't know that that was a thing that you could share player of the week.
I didn't think so because it's, you know.
A player, not players of the week award. But no, this week, Emily Curlett was named player of the week after just another phenomenal weekend that she had. We've been praising her just this entire three-episode show already. She has just been phenomenal on the blue line, offensively and defensively. She blocked, I believe, what, 12 shots in one period was the stat or something like that?
I believe last week or this week?
It would have been last week.
Yeah, I know it was a lot.
It was a lot. She's been crazy on the blue line, and you said she's second in the NCAA in terms of defensive scores, so... Just absolutely phenomenal performance so far from Curlett. She's eating up the minutes on the blue line and leading this younger blue line, if you will, to grow and develop, her and Sarah LeCavalier.
Which is really helpful.
Also, going off Curlett, the power play is phenomenal. We mentioned in the second game, or in the first game, in the second period. They had all three goals in three straight power plays. And we are now third in D1 power play conversion rate with a 34.3% rate. Wisconsin with a 57.6. Whew. So they're scoring over half of the times they get the man or the advantage.
And then I've never heard of that college.
I've never heard of Franklin Pierce in second.
But they're operating at a 42.1.
But yeah, Robert Morris in third. Mercyhurst just a little bit lower at fourth at 30%. And does not look like, yeah, Cornell is not on this graphic. So we'll see what happens this weekend against Cornell.
Here we go. Franklin Pierce, the Ravens, 2-1.
Okay. And they are D1.
D1. They play in. Are they D1?
I mean, it says D1.
Yeah.
Power play conversion rates.
I'm trying to figure out who they play. I mean, because the teams they play, they might be in, I don't know, because they play like Sacred Heart.
Yeah.
LIU.
Mm-hmm.
They play Dartmouth out of conference. UMaine. I have no clue.
Well, we don't play them, so.
It doesn't matter, but.
A team we do play, though, we'll get to previewing Cornell here. Last matchup was another tie for the Colonials, and that was November 24th, 2018. They were ranked again last year. They were, I believe, like 7th or something like that. I don't know why. I specifically remember that. But they do. Cornell scored 3 goals in the second period. Colonials scored 1 in the second and 2 in the third and tied 3-3. So, overall, in just Cornell versus RMU history, RMU has a 1-1-1 record. So, again, just as close as you can possibly get. And that goes from November of 2008 to November of 2018. So,
first game they played was a win, and it was actually away that they won. So,
yeah.
It'll be interesting to see if they can keep that momentum going in Ithaca.
From 2008, yeah.
Well, you never know. Maybe Colantino knows something about how to play in Ithaca to win.
Yeah. And then the last two matchups. So we've only had 3 matchups with this team in RMU women's hockey history. According to this, as the only game was not last year was the 2008 matchup against Cornell, which was a 2-1 win. And then last year, a home series for us where we lost 5-2 in game 1. And then, as we mentioned, tied 3-3 in game 2. So, another tough matchup for the Colonials. We'll see how they can.
It'll be a big matchup compete. Against the Big Red.
Yeah, is that what they're called?
It's a terrible name. They are the Cornell Big Red.
Cornell Big Red? Why do they have a bear in their logo, though?
I don't know.
Why aren't they the Bears?
I'm pretty sure. I might be thinking of Colgate. I know one of them's the Big Red. No, it's the Cornell Big Red.
It is the Cornell Big Red. That's almost as terrible as there was a back when I went to high school. There was a team that was the Grape Pickers. Just the Grape Pickers. It's possibly the worst name ever.
Let's see. Cornell's teams did not have official name until 05, when a graduate wrote lyrics for a new song. The lyrics included the words "the Big Red Team," and the nickname stuck. Wow. And the bear has long been a symbol of Cornell athletics.
Wow. So they didn't have a mascot until 2005?
No, 1905.
Oh.
Excuse me.
Oh. Okay, I just got worried there
for a second. And recently, for their mascot, Red Man, a person dressed in a tight red suit has been seen running up and down the field of men's soccer games.
Good for them. Wow. Say what you want to say about Romo, but...
At least we don't have a dude in red spandex.
Yeah, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Hopefully he won't be at the hockey game.
That would be interesting.
We won't... This will obviously be an away game for the Colonials. We won't be there.
We should try and get to you and I should try and get to an away game.
An away game, yeah.
Like maybe
down the stretch.
Penn State or Mercyhurst.
Well, let's see. Let's check the schedule. I believe, because that's another thing worth noting, we're not even in CHA play yet.
No, we next week.
Next week is our first CHA game, and it's against Penn State. Is that series home, or is it a home?
It's home. It's home.
It is a home series against Penn State, which is nice because we always like it when the annoying Penn State fans come here. And yep,
we have a home, then three straight away games, Lindenwood, RPI, and St. Lawrence. And then back home for Mercyhurst. No, we do play Wisco.
We do play Wisconsin? Oh, yeah. It's in a tournament.
Which okay. I haven't heard much about yet, this like.
The tournament that's coming up?
Yeah.
It'll be at the Lemieux Sports Complex.
So I guess it's a replacement for the Three Rivers that the men's team played. So it's Wisco and then either Northeastern or Colgate.
Well, that'll certainly make sure. We should try and go to that.
Yeah.
If anything.
Well, it's over winter break. So
okay.
I'll be up home, but I might.
January 4th and January 5th are the dates of those games.
I mean, then they play RIT the 10th and 11th in Rochester, so I might. Try and cover one of those games.
Yeah, because you'll be up there.
Yeah, I'll have to email Matt.
Another week until the Colonials start CHA play against Penn State with a home-and-home back at home. And this is the first road game of the series, as we mentioned, against Cornell, another top-five team, again in Ichita, New York. How far is that from where you
Ithaca?
Yeah.
Not Ithaca. Ichita.
Whatever.
Wichita's in Kansas.
Yeah.
Ithaca's about... probably 2 hours away. It's
from Buffalo?
I'm from Rochester.
Rochester.
Uh-huh. So it's you drive to Syracuse, which is an hour, then it's about an hour south.
Yeah.
It's really nice there. It's beautiful, but just in the middle of nowhere.
Ithaca, not Ichita. Those games will start at 6 instead of 7. That's interesting for Cornell or for the Friday game, and then Saturday we'll start at 3. We'll see what the Colonials will do then. We're, of course, rooting for them.
What's your prediction?
I think this is our third straight week against a top-five opponent. This is, I mean, in terms of overall skill and the rankings, this is, if you want to say the weakest, I guess they are the weakest
Well, we don't know what they bring because they don't have a record yet.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting.
They could be. I mean, that's technically preseason rankings for them because they still have not played a game yet. I think the Colonials are going to be able to steal one. And I've said that every single week.
But they've gotten close in every single week.
They've gotten closer and closer every single game. And I'm just I want this team to beat a top-five opponent. Gebhardt said that she said in a post-game interview that we're going to start winning these games. We're going to start figuring out how to win against these tough opponents. I mean, and if they are going to go far in the NCAA, they're going to have to learn how to do that. So, yeah, I'm really excited for this game. I say a split. I say one is a one-goal game, and I say the other one we lose by two.
See, I'm going to go with the opposite.
Yeah?
We win by two.
Okay.
I think this team they haven't exploded other than Union. I think they can not explode, but just push that offensive might.
Yeah.
that we've seen they have.
And that's a thing we've mentioned multiple times on the podcast, and that Colantino has mentioned in interviews, is that the team needs its depth to step up. Maggie Burbidge is one that like has shown that,
and she can.
That she can.
Leah Marino got a goal against
Union.
No, against Minnesota.
Minnesota, she did. Okay,
I'm pretty sure it was one of those. I know she got a goal.
Krasowski. They're looking for more players.
Curlett's doing well. Curlett, I know she's technically second pair. I don't know why.
I mean, yeah, it's just the depth in terms of like defensive stuff. Emily Harley has been playing absolutely phenomenal.
She has.
In my opinion. Her breakout passes and the little thing she does on the ice has been phenomenal. And I'm confused on why she ever played forward in the first place.
I don't know.
She's perfect back there defensively. She's a great defensive defenseman. And
she's who you want on that back end just to break it out.
Yeah.
And to put her with that stalwart in Sarah LeCavalier.
Yeah, their hockey sense there is absolutely phenomenal. I am looking for more out of girls like Natalie Marcuse, Allison Rogers, Angelica Diffendahl.
They've been sort of missing.
I wouldn't say missing, but they have. Well, I mean, this is the very tough opponents that are very hard to score against. Just one goal from any one of those is huge. Like we saw with the Burbidge goal and Mara Wagner scoring her first goal the other weekend. So it just a one goal can go a long way. It takes a weight off of Gebhard, Templeman, and Boyle a lot,
mm-hmm.
and even Carlette, who's been scoring for the Colonials.
The one area I have questions, though, goaltending.
Yeah.
Last week we thought Reagan Kirk was the answer.
Yeah.
But obviously Paul has played DeSmet the past four now?
Four in a row, I believe, yeah.
I don't know. I just don't know. Is there something, injury we don't know about? Yeah. Is there?
And you want to get both your goaltenders' experience against these tough opponents. You don't want them to just play against Union and then throw them in the third period against Penn State or something like that.
We saw that happen with the men's team. I know it was partially a blowout, but Reed Cooper came in for Marat halfway through.
Or not Marat, Capmaster.
No, last year.
Oh, last year.
Against Penn State when they got killed.
Yeah.
I think five of those goals were let in by Cooper.
Yeah. Definitely a very exciting upcoming weekend. Are these games going to be broadcasted? Do you know?
I would imagine no, because you know it is, no offense to them, but it's women's hockey. Not many people aside from us really care. Maybe Cornell will do a live stream about it. I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah, we'll see. Next weekend we have Penn State at home. Be sure to come to the island and check that one out.
Tickets are free for students.
Of
so.
Course, as always, this is the best. Arguably the best team on in campus right now. So, good luck to the women's team this weekend as they take on the Big Red or whatever it was.
Cornell Big Red. If you want to drive up to Ithaca, puck drop tomorrow's at 6:00. Puck drop Saturday's at 3:00.
So yeah, we will look forward to talking about hopefully two wins next weekend. We'll catch you guys then. Thank you all for tuning in. Be sure to check out RMU Century Media and follow us on Twitter. Links will be in the description. See you guys next week.